I've learned that Jesus will fix it after a while. I've learned that he will not do it in Stan's time, but he'll do it in his time. I've learned that when I get out of the way and allow him to have his way, he will fix it after a while. Good to see everybody this morning. I hope and pray that all is well with you. That song there really has some meaning to me, because I don't know about you, I was up at 3 o'clock this morning. You know, I don't know how we diminish the Holy Spirit that operates in our lives. But you know, it operates in our lives if we allow it to speak to us. And don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying something, I heard a voice, I didn't say that. Ain't you leaving here saying that, oh, the preacher done went off the deep end? No. But you know, I'm learning that when you learn to be still, that was the psalmist. The psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. And I'm learning that in the midst of all that I go through in my life, that if I just learn to just be still, God speaks to me through his word. And this morning, as I got up about 3:30, I couldn't help but to allow God to speak to my heart with this message that I'm going to give to you this morning. And you know, and as I stop and I look at the condition of the church, and I'm not talking about just here, but I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ as a whole. As I look at all the tragedy and all the stuff that's going on in the world, I'm just reminded that I need to make sure that when he calls Stan, that I'm on the right track. And so this morning, as I was writing this lesson, I came up with the title, What's Your Excuse? And I'm going to show you this morning that just because you're part of the body of Christ, you still have some excuses. And I want to just ask you this morning to stop and think about, what's your excuse when it comes to serving Jesus? I'll do that later. I need a little help. What's your excuse? I can't do it. I don't feel like doing it. What's your excuse? Oh yeah, I got a pocket of them. Why me? What's your excuse? I got a headache. My feet hurt. What's your excuse this morning? Well, yeah, I'm being facetious, but I can pull mine out. What's yours this morning?
I don't remember.
I'm too busy. Why are you picking on me? What's wrong with someone else? What's your excuse this morning? I'm going to show you an individual from the Word of God. And this particular miracle is only take place in one of the Gospels. It's taking place in the book of John, where Jesus, after he has just done his second miracle, goes and he is with the Jews in Bethesda, and he raises a question. This text says, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you smart people, help me out. And is a, and it does what?
Joins
something together. So before I can take his yoke, I got to do something else, huh, with his yoke. I got to learn of him. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What's your excuse this morning when it's time to serve Jehovah? Have you allowed the cares of this world to dictate to you your level of Christianity? Have you allowed the things that you possess to become more important than your soul salvation? What's your excuse this morning? That's right. I want to deal with what is your excuse this morning. You see a few of mine. Just messing with you. Because somewhere down the line, church, I'm a firm believer that we stop giving the Lord excuses.
Amen.
You know why? Because he made us. Not only has he made us, he knows the very existence of our heart and everything around us. And so this morning, as we look at this invitation that Jesus offers to each and every one, I want to just encourage you and to remind you that in the midst of all of your trials and tribulations, Jesus says, I can give you rest if you're willing to take my yoke and learn of him. But see, in order to take the yoke of Jesus, it requires something. And I'm learning that what it requires is much, much more than what we're willing to give. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So this morning, church, what's your excuse when it comes to doing the will of the Father? When I look at the example that transpired on Calvary's cross, I see that the God of heaven gave no excuse for creating mankind. In John chapter 3 and round about verse number 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, even though he had the right to. Amen. When he made man and placed him in the garden, he commanded man to do exactly one thing. Be fruitful, multiply, don't touch the tree in the midst of the garden. Was that difficult? No. Well, what was their excuse? And what's our excuse now? When Jesus says, come unto me and I'll give you some rest. In the midst of our example of Jesus on the cross, John chapter 6 and round about verse number 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night shall come when no man can work. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 and 9, the Bible said, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. No excuse, sounds like to me. It sounds like that when Jesus came to do the Father's will, he was willing to go to the cross. Now, did he have some moments where he had some things going on in his life? Yes, he did. But when it came to doing the Father's will, are we able to say the words that Jesus was able to say? And see, and that's why I like about Jesus, because he was a human being just like you and I. But you know what? We'll use an excuse. You know what our biggest excuse is? I'm only human. Amen, Walls. You don't have to amen it because I know it's the truth. But the Bible says he was a high priest that knew all of our infirmities. Why was he able to have no excuse when it came to doing the will of the Father? But you saying, well, he was the Son of God. I'm reminded that the Bible says we are also sons of God. I'm reminded the Bible says we are also children of God. And if children and heirs and joint heirs, no excuse. You got that so far? Okay, well, let's see if you got an excuse this morning. I want to encourage each and every one of us as we look at this lesson, go ahead and take your invisible excuses out of your pockets. Pass this plate around and put them in there. And if you need your excuse when you leave, you can pick it up and take it with you. But I want to show you that Jesus had no excuse when it came to doing the Father's will. In John chapter 8, and round about verse number 29, listen to these words that Jesus says to us. The Bible says, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. He that has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. And if he was made in the, if we were made in his image and we were just like him, what's our excuse when it comes to serving the master? I want to encourage you and remind you as we look at this lesson this morning that Jesus had no excuse. Even when Satan was hot on his heels, Jesus had no excuse for doing the will of the Father. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, the Bible says Jesus was taken up into the wilderness by the Spirit. And as he was in the wilderness, he had some problems. He was hungry, and Satan knew that. Now, what do you think Satan did? I got you now. But Jesus said, it is written. See, I'm learning that when you understand what is written, you have no excuses. Amen, Walt. I understand that when you understand what thus saith the Lord, there's no excuse when it comes to doing the will of the Father. So the question is, what's your excuse this morning? What do you show the world when it comes to showing them Jesus Christ? Do you have an excuse? And you know, we always use this excuse. How's the weather? But we don't talk about the man that made the weather. We don't talk about the heat of hell because we are afraid to use certain things because it makes us use certain excuses instead of doing what God requires of us. This morning I want to show you in John chapter 5 an individual here that when he encounters Jesus, he's just like you and I. Boy, he got a pocket full of excuses. And he used each and every one of them. And I'm learning that, you know, when you start giving God excuses, you don't even hear what God has to say to you. That's what happened to this individual here. He was so busy with excuses that when it came time for him to receive the blessing of God himself, he didn't even hear anybody in that boat. You know, sometimes we complain about everything under the sun. And we forget to understand the blessings of just being on this time side of life. We don't understand the blessings of being able to get up in the morning and putting our shoes on. And you know, a man is smart. Have you seen that new gadget they got on how to put your sock on? Instead of bending down and suffering through the pain and the agony of putting our socks on, we got excuses of how to put your sock on and you don't even have to bend down. What's wrong with our society in which we live in? But I want to show you this individual because this individual here has the same characteristics that you and I have when we start using excuses and not really understanding the power that God has given to each and every one of us. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus says, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus offered an abundant life here, I believe, and in the hereafter. But this individual here, he has gotten so complacent in what he has not done that he has an excuse every time something happened. How long did the children of Israel wander in the wilderness? Somebody say 40 years. And I want to show you this man was 2 years from wandering himself. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse number 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lie a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halted, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, I'm not the smartest, but if I had a problem, you know why, you know, when they're giving something away free, you know, like Black Friday, you know, you want to be the first one in line. What do? You stay up all night, you stay in front of the stove, and somebody cut in front of you, boy, you ready to go nut to. You know what I'm talking about? See, when something is offered to you, you want to be the first one there, so you make sure you get it, huh? It's just like when you go and get your discounts. You want all of them, don't you? Oh, y'all pretend like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. The Bible says there's an angel would come down in the midst of this. Look at what he says in verse number 4. And for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, and whosoever and what of whatsoever disease he had. Verse number 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Lord have mercy. 38 years. I wonder how many excuses that he had. Well, you're going to see right now. The Bible says, and when he saw, and when Jesus saw him and knew that he had been a long time in this case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? Well, you know, Jesus, I'd like to, but why me? Jesus, my feet hurt. I got a headache. I can't do this. Why are you messing with me? Pick on somebody else. See, he's so busy about his excuses, he didn't even hear what Jesus had to say to him. Look at the excuse that he starts to make. The Bible says in verse number 7, the impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man. I think in 38 years you can get on top of the pool and fall in when something happens. See, but see, when you're so used to making excuses, that's all you do is you make excuses. The Bible says, he says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Boy, that sounds like another excuse. You can just roll on in there by then or stay in the water till next year. Okay. Amen. I mean, no excuse. But it shows us that we are just like this man here. Because see, when it's time to worship God, how many excuses do you have? Huh? When it's time to teach a class, well, I'm busy. Find somebody else. I have a headache. My feet hurt. Yeah, y'all quiet. See, because when it's time to do kingdom business, there ought not to be a single person in here with an excuse. But we ought to be like the prophet in Isaiah chapter 6. When God looked around and saw there was nobody and the king had died, God said to the people, who can I send? The prophet Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Can you say that? Or do you still have a bunch of excuses? See, because when it's time to do the will of the Father, God expects you and I to step up to the plate to show the world that he's alive and well, because you ought to be able to see it inside of each and every one of us. The Bible says in verse number 8, Jesus said unto him, arise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And boy, if you read a little further, the religious folks came out the closet. Sound like some of us. You won't help a crippled crab with a crutch, but boy, just let something come up and you all in the soup, as we say, in the Kool-Aid. In this text here, church, it shows that if you really believe in God, excuses goes out the window. When you really believe and trust in the Lord, you really start to serve God with an honest heart and with a pure heart. John chapter 4 and verse number 24. The Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hebrews chapter 11 and round about verse number 6. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And church, in conclusion, how long will you use the same excuse for not serving the Master? How long will you turn away from what he requires of us? Or will you wait until that day when you stand before his judgment seat? In Matthew chapter 7 and round about verse number 21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. For many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Luke chapter 6, as I close, and round about verse number 46, Jesus would raise these questions. He said, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Amen. What's your excuse this morning? Church, just look at the world we live in. The world is on the verge of total annihilation, whether you know it or not. And how are we upholding the banner of the cross? People are dying every single day. And how many of us are dead spiritually? Church, this might be my last message, but you know what? I want you to understand something. No excuse. Either you're going to make heaven your home or you're not. And I don't know about you. When it comes to thinking about the excuses that I give God, none of them holds water. How about you? I want to encourage you, church. Stop making excuses. And let's get busy as we can turn the world upside down. The world needs to see Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Oh, well, y'all wake up now. I'm finished. Yeah, you're probably saying good. The world needs to see Jesus Christ. Amen. Where are they going to see him? It's got to be inside of us. But see, no longer can we give lip service. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their hearts far from me. For in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. You know, when you don't do what God says, you're teaching somebody what the world teaches. Amen. When the world looks at us and see that we don't love one another and care for one another the way the Bible says, we tell the world that Jesus is just mere words that come out of our mouths. Somewhere down the line, no excuse. And I want to encourage you, if you've been making excuses, repent. It's just that simple. Get on the right track. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.